Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
I think, first of all, you know, been able to spin out left, spin out right, do some fun things in my career, but also step up and slide up. You know, these guys rushed extremely well. You know, our guys battled up front. We got some positive yards and was able to, you know, I thought we had that one first down where I dove and kind of put the ball out. The ball was across, but they didn't give it to us. So then the fourth quarter, I just said, you know what, we got to find the guy, one, two, three. If it's not there, you know, get ready to get north and take off and move around a little bit.
That last drive. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. It's a Bronco Victory Monday, Reaction Monday. Broncos are 2-1, tied for first place in the division. Do you think that last drive, Russ just kind of said, all right, enough's enough. Been trying to work within the framework of what we're trying to do here, and maybe that's something that we'll get back to as we move on through the upcoming weeks. But right now, I got to go back to kind of doing what made me Russell Wilson in the first place.
Which, to me, is smart. It's what you want to do, right? You want to be able to say, hey, man, I'm going to make sure that I work within the confines of the offense, right? I want to be on time. I want to do all those things. I do. But, and again, I emphasize, but when push comes to shove and we need to make plays, I got to go make plays. That's what I'm paid to do, is to go make plays. And so I just think that that's, you know, I think managing that is a big part of it. I think it's a big part of when it comes to rubber meets the road time, you got to go out and be Russell Wilson. And hey, listen, there'll be games where you're just completely efficient from the pocket and everything is good. But against a team like that, that's got a great defense, a superior defense, you just got to go make some plays occasionally. And he did. And Chris Collinsworth was great last night. Just, you know, praising him for, you know, falling into being Russell Wilson again.
After being very critical of him up until that point, saying that, hey, mm-hmm. It's time for Russell Wilson to be Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
This is the time where you have to step up and do something special and rescue your team. And?
Yeah, special players do special things in special moments.
Next and four down.
Second down.
And once we got to that drive, we decided, we had a couple plays, and then we started going a little up-tempo. Thought we can catch them on their heels a little bit. They felt like they might have gotten a little tired, and that was the one thing that we could do to try to slow those guys down on the outside. And then I thought Russell was just unbelievable. I mean, when he started running around, the pockets, you know, whether it collapsed, he stepped up into it instead of going backwards and was able to get some yards rushing, and also at the same time, you know, some scrambles for some scramble drills with the players.
What a week for Nathaniel Hackett. As they bring in Jerry Rosper, who had been retired for 3 years, as the game manager upstairs in his ear. Is this something that you look at as being embarrassing that it came to this for Nathaniel Hackett, or positive that he acknowledged that something had to happen, something had to be done, something had to be fixed? You give him credit for that, or is it more a mark against him that he was so ill-prepared that it necessitated a move like this?
No, I look at it as a positive, man. You understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand that there are very few guys that can manage a game and call a game at the same time. And so to have somebody in your ear, to have somebody help you with that, you know, to orchestrate that process, I think it's important. And it's important to be able to say, okay, here's the game situation. Here's where we are. What do we want to do? Like, if we get to this yard line, now we got to be thinking this way. We want to be more aggressive. We're going to be less aggressive. We're going to manage the clock. We got to eat the clock. Like, all that kind of stuff. I think that's a really important aspect that probably goes unsaid far too often. And I think there's a lot of guys that are play callers that don't do it well. I don't think Andy Reid does it well. You know, he's been criticized over the years for not doing it well. I think it's a hard thing to do. And, that to me is just smart football. Hey, man, recognize that you're struggling with that aspect of it. Get yourself some help. Nothing wrong with that.
Next and four down.
Third down.
Yeah, man, this is special to me, man. This is pretty crazy. This is pretty surreal, honestly, especially against my former team, the 49ers. And, you know, I think I'm going to sleep with this one tonight.
Jonas Griffith. Big play. Many big plays by the defense down the stretch. He got a game ball. I think everybody on defense got a game ball. It was a game that ultimately was won with defense and special teams. Mark, where are you at with this defense? Is this defense truly a great defense, one that you think will be a top five defense that can really carry this team this year as the offense tries to figure it out? Or do we have to pump the brakes and say, 3 weeks you've gone through Geno Smith, Davis Mills, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who was throwing to PR people during the summer and started his first game of the year yesterday?
I think there are a lot of things that encourage me about this defense. Now, we shall see, right? We shall see. But, hey, listen, K'Wan Williams, really good player on the nickel. Pat Surtain going to have, I mean, this guy's going to be all pro. And I think, building depth in the secondary when they get Justin Simmons back, that just makes them that much stronger. I think the thing I've been most encouraged about, Mike, is their ability to defend the run. Mike Purcell was awesome last night. Awesome. DJ Jones has been awesome. I think Draymond Jones has been really good. I think their rotation up front has been great. I think they've done a great job of dominating the line of scrimmage and, and shedding blocks and making tackles. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to be a top five defense.
San Francisco, through the first 2 weeks, came in averaging about 180 yards per game rushing. Denver held them to 88, and 37 of them came on one run by Jeff Wilson. So we talked all week long, and this was a case where, really, we had this one doped out pretty good. Said, you want to beat San Francisco? The key, first of all, shut down their running game, make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you, and he's stepping out of the back of the end zone, going full Orlovsky. Next in four down.
1, 2, 3.
Fourth down.
Give Mike and his crew obviously a lot of credit. They started the game better than we did. No doubt about it. And dug ourselves a hole again. So we're going to have to learn how to play a full 60 minutes and earn the right to win. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Hey, Raider fan. Man, why didn't you listen to us? Why didn't you listen to us when we told you? Hurricane Josh is touching down in Las Vegas. And man, you are seeing what we know oh so well. The Raiders are off to an 0-3 start. Josh McDaniels is having closed-door meetings with the owner after the game. And now the Broncos come to town. He's going to be answering questions all week long about what went wrong in Denver and why does it seem like you haven't learned any lessons from it.
Do your job!
Remember, last year, there is not a 0-2 team from last year that made it to the playoffs. They're 0-3. That makes me feel good.
Raiders going to Raider, Chargers going to Charger.
Yeah.
Chargers 1-2. Chiefs lost. What happened to the vaunted AFC West? Overrated. And you know what?
I know what happened to you.
And I'll that's probably actually good.
What happened to your prediction that Matt Ryan looks washed? How'd he do yesterday? How'd he do?
Easy.
Hold on a second.
What'd they score? 20 points?
Relax.
Let's hold on. You got Tennessee and Indy this week, huh?
I know.
A rare AFC game for you.
I know. And I was trying to figure out, I was looking at Tennessee's roster. They're going to have to release a few people. They've got a lot, way too many tough, difficult names to pronounce.
That'll do it for four down. We'll go around the AFC West and look at all the games coming up and what's trending at 7:30. But coming up next, where are we all at with Russell Wilson? Are we encouraged? Do we wonder if we got a lemon? I mean, for goodness sakes, he's being compared to Tim Tebow now.
Who?
You get one guess. That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
The 24, Wilson going that way. Back shoulder, Sutton at the 5. First and goal, Denver. first trip in the red zone tonight.
And what do you know? They finished off that red zone trip with their first red zone touchdown. And Melvin Gordon, he had the greasy fingers, was the running back, the go-to running back at that moment. Despite the dropsies. Even I was stunned to see Gordon in there. Even I didn't want Gordon in there at that moment.
Yeah, the president of the Gordon fan club.
Even I didn't want him in there at that moment. Holy smokes. But there he was. And there was Russell Wilson on that final drive, 5 of 7 for 58 yards, plus that big 12-yard scramble.
Uh-huh.
Rolled to his left for that completion to Kendall Hinton for 27 yards.
Yeah, I thought he couldn't throw when he rolled to his left. Wasn't Russ, that the...
Russ was aware of that same thing. And even though Russ puts on this happy-go-lucky, doesn't have a care in the world,
he does have rabbit ears.
He's got rabbit ears. Yeah, he said after the game, quote, "I went left. I guess I can still go left." After all that stuff coming out of Seattle from Pete Carroll, that he's just not the same when he goes to the left.
Yeah. Everybody jumping on that bandwagon. Settle down, people. Settle down.
All right, where are we at with Russell Wilson? Because up until that last drive, it was this guy looks washed. He looks fat. This contract is going to age worse than Chris Bryant's contract. Evans, you were right in saying that they should wait a year to work out a new deal with them.
You have learned from me. You're making this about you.
Well, no, just that one part.
Just that one part?
I just got that one part.
I like it.
I've learned from the master.
I've learned from the master. Who said, did anybody really say that, or did you just say that?
I said it.
I know you said it, but right. I mean, did anybody Evans, it looks like you're right.
Check.
After three games, check the Twitter. Okay,
check my Twitter timeline. I didn't even bring it up. It was brought up a couple times unprovoked. But anyway, and even this, the ultimate indignity, saying that last night was no different than a Tebow game. That Russell Wilson was no different than Tim Tebow. Did nothing for the entire game, and then at the end ran around, made a couple of plays, and they ended up winning.
Well, that's just silly. That is just ridiculous.
Now, if what you're saying is Russell Wilson is right now a below-average quarterback, sure, I'll go with the Tebow reference there because Tim Tebow was always a below-average quarterback. So, in that regard, yes, but I see a much more upside for one Russell Wilson than I ever saw for Tim Tebow.
So, let me just... 20 of 33, 184 yards.
No touchdowns.
I get it. No interceptions.
No interceptions. Did avoid the costly mistake.
To compare that to a Tebow game was 2 of 8. I mean, they didn't. You think they're letting Tebow drop back and throw 33 times? Come on. Stop it with that.
Is Tebow making an audible on that final drive? And then making a beautiful back shoulder throw to Courtland Sutton.
No. So
anyway, but that's, I get it.
Yeah.
That's coming from somebody who wrote a manifesto and who still believes that if you had only committed to Tebow, they would have won multiple Super Bowls with him. So I'll leave that out there. Lunacy all by itself. Yes. Where do you think it came? Anything that involves Tebow, where do you think it originates from?
Mastermind. Absolutely.
That'd be D-Mac, people.
Yeah,
for those
I,
people
I will be doing
not aware.
I think I'll be doing radio with D-Mac from 5 to 6 tonight.
Yeah, well.
Look how stupid I am.
That's going to be good.
So, where are you at with Wilson, though? Are you discouraged? I guess really what it comes down to is, are you worried? Are you worried that this guy that they invested so much in for draft capital, money, that this guy is a lemon, basically. To use the car analogy, you bought a lemon.
Well, I think that is stupid. I think that's silly. And I think the other thing is, from a draft capital standpoint, you're 2-1. You haven't scored a lot of points, but you've beaten two really good defenses back-to-back. Houston's got a really good defense. And they'll have a really good defense all year. Now, The problem with them is they don't have any offensive firepower. So, you know, if we could just, everybody could take a breath and you know, to quote Aaron Rodgers, just relax, it's going to be okay. And what you saw at the end of that game in that fourth quarter in critical moments is what he is capable of. I don't want him to play that way the entirety game and the entirety of a game. I don't. He doesn't. He shouldn't. I want them to be more efficient. They haven't been. Okay? That's going to be a work in progress. But, I mean, to act like you've bought a lemon. And then to sit there and say, have we not learned a lesson? Have we not seen what happens when you think, oh, draft capital, man, we're good. Now we got a bunch of draft. Have we not seen teams go down that road? And have you not watched the Jets for the last two decades?
I don't think it's so much the draft capital as much as it is the contract. You know, when you hear criticism of Wilson, it's more like, oh my goodness, $250 million for this?
Or 2-1? Or, I mean, again,
for an offense that's
2-1.
Are they 2-1? Why are they 2-1?
Well, because...
Okay, word association. 2-1. Broncos are 2-1 because of? First thing that comes to mind?
No, you're not going to... I'm not going down that road.
Then you're being disingenuous.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You go up to any Bronco fan right now and say the Denver Broncos are 2-1 right now because of? And they're going to say their defense. And that's fine. We predicted that. Before the season began, we predicted the plan is to go at least a minimum of 2-1 with the idea that the defense will carry through for the first three games. Boom, it's happened.
Did the defense win that game on the last drive?
The only reason you had a chance to win it on the last drive was because of the defense.
That's not what I asked.
And then the defense closed after that.
Did the defense,
even after the touchdown, the defense closed.
Did the defense score?
They did not score. Well, they forced a safety.
Okay, but... Well, did they force a safety or did Jimmy Garoppolo pull Orzlovsky?
We'll continue that. Right. We will get to what's trending, a tour around the overrated AFC West coming up.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Garoppolo just trying to get it out. Wilson has it on the run. Lost the football. Denver's got it. And Denver's got this one. Kareem Jackson comes up with it.
NBC there with the call, Mike Tirico. So, despite all the struggles, despite the booze, the clock countdown, the national embarrassing commentary, the Broncos are 2-1. And you know, it's funny, Mark, because before season starts, you know, we're sitting around, we're talking about the season, we make all kinds of predictions, and sometimes you don't necessarily think about what your prediction's going to look like. What did we all say? What did we all say after the preseason that they had? Boy, the first few weeks, the offense might look rough. You know, for the first 3 weeks, especially, the defense is probably going to have to carry the day. And hopefully, at minimum, they come away 2-1. That is exactly what we talked about. Well, guess what? It happened exactly as we predicted. So when you say that you think the offense is going to struggle, should you necessarily be surprised that it looks like what we've watched? What did you think struggle was going to look like?
I don't know. You shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, I think you always walk in being hopeful. You got a $250 million quarterback. Sure. You know, everybody has always praised the Broncos for, you know, how much talent they have outside the numbers, right? Their wide receiving core and this, that, and the other. And, yeah, you know, I mean, it has yet to really develop. There's one guy that looks like he's got a great connection with Russell Wilson, and that's Cortland Sutton. And beyond that,
that's predicted. This was predicted. Nobody had a problem predicting this.
No.
So why should we be surprised that it's been a struggle?
Well, because we want it. I mean, we have expectations. All right, we'll give you one.
But those
game.
Were our expectations. Well, that's my point.
But offensively, the first game they were pretty good, except for the fumbles. So then you were like, oh, okay, maybe we won't struggle. And then you struggled for two games in a row, and now you're mad.
He's going to fire up field. It's broken up. Tipped and intercepted by the Colts. Intercepted by the Colts. It's Rodney McLeod.
Chiefs lose. And I'm going to just point out, I don't know if it's going to be a big deal, but it's happened again. There was a moment at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes not on the same page, and they were sniping and going back and forth with each other to the point where Andy Reid had to step in. We remember what happened during the playoff game at the end of a half. Same thing occurred. Mahomes went into the tank for the second half of that game. Kansas City went in the tank for the second half of this game. Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes' relationship. Just something to watch.
I hope it's awful. I hope they can't stand each other.
Well,
I hope they
there's
just
There's some
keep...
evidence. And remember the whole story during the offseason?
Mm-hmm.
From that Chiefs Kingdom place?
Oh, yeah.
Just all I'm saying.
Something to watch.
Something to watch. Right. Chiefs lose to the Colts. They're 2-1.
Dropping is Trevor. Looking. Fires corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown in the back of the end zone. How in the world did Marvin Jones Jr. come down with that thing?
Jacksonville radio. Jacksonville goes into L.A. and hammers the Chargers 38-10. The Chargers have now lost two in a row. I don't want to hear any excuses about, well, Justin Herbert's banged up. He was okay to throw the ball 45 times yesterday. So he clearly was healthy enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
And chuck it around 45 times. What else is there to say? Until proven otherwise, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Chargers going to Charger.
Charger.
They're 1-2.
Yeah. And, Jacksonville, sneaky good.
Yeah, all of a sudden that London game looks a whole lot different, doesn't it?
I will tell you, Jacksonville, and having talked to the Commanders the other day, Scott Turner, their offensive coordinator, said, don't sleep on Jacksonville's defense. He goes, nobody's going to run it against them. He goes, nobody will run the ball against Jacksonville. They're that good. So, you know what? That looks like a much tougher game here coming down the pike in London.
Carr throws short. Headed away. It was hit.
I know we're focusing on what we just saw last night, but never too early to look ahead to a Raider Josh McDaniels game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Raiders are 0-3. Are they done, or whatever they have left to give, are we going to see next Sunday?
Yeah, that's my concern. You're gonna get the desperation shot. You know, that's what you got in.
Shouldn't they have been desperate yesterday?
That's what, well, both teams hadn't lost. Yeah, they should have been desperate yesterday, but this is the real desperation.
Oh, okay. Now they really get desperate.
They were just desperate. Now they're super desperate.
Super desperate.
That's what the Colts were desperate. Saw the division running away from them, saw Jacksonville doing their thing. Boom. Look what happens.
So they'll be super desperate next week.
Really desperate.
Really desperate.
Really.
I mean, all they were yesterday was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, they'll be super desperate.
Yeah, they'll be like you 2 weeks before prom. Really desperate to find a date. Really, they're like...
Actually, you wouldn't. You're not that far from the truth.
What am I going to do?
That is what is trending. Our tour around the overrated AFC West? They haven't really started, you know, squaring off against each other fully yet.
Right.
And Chiefs are 2-1, Broncos are 2-1.
There were people that all thought that it was going to be, you know, three, maybe even four teams from that division making the playoffs. I mean, the Raiders are already mathematically eliminated.
How's that working out?
Yeah. Not good.
That is what is trending. Hey, coming up on Monday, October 3rd. Week from now, we're putting on the party of the fall, but it's invite only. An awesome chance to be there live for what will be an unforgettable night, including free food, but we can't share any more details than that. as it's top secret. Callers 4 and 5 right now win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event. That's callers 4 and 5 right now at 303-713-1043. If you don't win this hour, don't worry. We're going to be doing it every hour throughout the course of the day. Callers 4 and 5 right now, 303-713-1043. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday on a Victory Monday. Your hot takes next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
I think the biggest story is Broncos country trying to get a feel for what exactly are we watching right now? Are we watching something that we should be encouraged by? Feel good about? Or even with a 2-1 record, is there nothing but a lot of reasons to be pessimistic about where this thing is going this year?
I honestly think this, and this is not just me being a homer. I really think there are more reasons to be optimistic than there are reasons to be pessimistic.
Okay, why?
Well, because we knew, like you mentioned earlier, we knew that there were going to be some offensive struggles. New coach, new coordinator, first time play callers. You know, I mean, you got a brand new quarterback, a bunch of receivers that, let's face it, frankly, in an offense that frankly has been putrid for years. So you knew there was going to be progress, a work in progress, and tying together a brand new offense, not only with receivers and running backs and tight ends and a quarterback, but with your play callers. There's a difference between saying, hey, we're in Green Bay and we've had Aaron Rodgers for however many years and we're not taking any reps. Hey, we're in Los Angeles and I've been running the same offense since I got here 6 years ago as a head coach. I've got the same coaching staff, essentially the same, principles. I know we lost Kevin O'Connell. He went to Minnesota, but we've got the same principles. We still have our receiver coach. We still have our running back coach. We just promote from within with our coordinator, whatever, whoever took over that. But Sean McVay calls all the plays anyhow and designs the offense. And so everything stayed the same. And oh, by the way, we have the same quarterback we won a Super Bowl with last year. It's going to be okay. Like you said, all the newness, and you were right. I'm giving you a lot of credit right now. I don't like to do it, but I'm going to give you a lot of credit. You were right. All the newness, it's going to take time. And yet you still won two games. And oh, by the way, during Yarbrough cutting time, you've made plays. You made plays late in Houston, against Houston at home, and you made plays late against San Francisco at home. That encourages me. And you haven't gotten the best out of, you haven't found your tight end that you can, that you have tons of trust in. There's going to be a committee type approach to that. You haven't found a secondary receiver who you really believe in. Cortland Sutton is the only guy passing. Like, if you're a defense right now and you're facing the Denver Broncos, what are you doing, Mike? Like, from a game planning standpoint, what are you doing? That's the dude we're going to, hey, every critical situation, that's the guy we're going to take out. That's the guy we're going to take away. If this was Bill Belichick, if you were playing Bill Belichick, he'd roll the number two corner over there, match him up against Cortland Sutton, and they play jam. They jam Cortland Sutton off the line of scrimmage, and they would play trail technique. They would follow him. They'd have a safety over the top, and then the number one corner would go against the number two guy, and they would flip things up, and they would just take him away, and say, okay, like one guy that's not going to beat us is that guy. 14 ain't beating us. So now what? So some other guys are going to have to step up and develop. That's. But I'm encouraged.
We have a texter who claims that you do not believe all this. That you're just simply trying to be nice. And you're just saying things that you don't believe.
Listen,
to just try to paint an optimistic picture. That you don't believe right. What you're saying about being actually encouraged by what you saw from Russell Wilson and this offense
yesterday. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Your words. You said earlier, I'm actually encouraged by what I saw from Russell Wilson. This texter says you're lying.
Okay, let me ask this texter. How long have you been listening to me? Seriously, how long have you been listening to me? How come I've been persona non grata over there for years? Like I'm not gonna lie to you. I just refuse to lie to you. Now I'm hopeful that I'm right. I'm hopeful that my encouragement will be the expectation of my encouragement will be met, and I believe that it will be. But I'm not gonna lie to you about it because I am encouraged. Do they have to get a whole lot better? Yes. Like I'm not living in fantasy land. I understand that. The other thing I've been encouraged about, Mike, is they have consistently run the ball well. I don't know what their average per carry was yesterday, but in the first two games, it was five and a half yards a carry. Yesterday, it started off slow, but they consistently were in second down and six, or they consistently got four or five yards.
Well, I think the thing you have to be encouraged by is that despite having a horrific offensive game for most of the game, they did resist the temptation just to start chucking it all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson threw the ball 33 times. Between Williams and Gordon, they ran it 27 times. Add in six rushes by Wilson, you actually had a 50-50 split, 33 passes, 33 runs.
Now, they weren't great. They
averaged...
Williams averaged 4 yards, 3.9, Gordon 2.2, Wilson 2.8. So they got you. But again, a really, really stout front seven. I mean, one of the best front sevens you will face this year. So, and the fact that you didn't run it as efficiently as you have, and you still had that many carries, that's a good sign. Listen, you can sit there and call me a liar if you want, but I have never, ever on this program lied about the folks over at Dove Valley to the point where, as I said, I've been persona non grata plenty.
I get it. We as fans, we here in the media, we live in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We live absolutely in the moment. And that's the way it needs to be. That's just human nature. That's a fan's nature. That's what we do in this business. But sometimes you do have to sit back and take a look at the big picture.
Yeah.
And the big picture was, before the season began, guys like me, guys like you, fans, whatever, are like, well, you know what? With all this newness, the offense is going to struggle early on. We need to be ready for that. We need to be prepared. The offense is going to struggle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it happens, exactly like, I guess I have to sit back and ask the big picture question, what were you expecting it to look like? How was this offense going to struggle? Your words out there, Broncos country. How was this offense going to struggle and still look really good? How does that happen?
Right.
Right?
Well, when
you say it's going to struggle, it's going to... That's what a struggle looks like.
That's exactly what happened in the first game. Offense looked really good, but it struggled. In the red zone, it fumbled. Right? Hey, by the way, you finally got a red... They were 0 for 6 in goal-to-go situations. You finally got a greasy fingers, got one in. So, I ain't lying about it. I'm encouraged because I just think they're going to continue to climb and they're going to continue to get better. And the other thing is I just have a different perspective than the guy driving down I-25 right now. I just did the same. I just did a 49ers game. They shut out the Seattle Seahawks offense, shut them out. Now, I'm not saying Seattle's a great offense. I'm not saying that. But they manhandled the Seahawks offense. The Seahawks scored 7 points on a blocked field goal, returned 80 yards for a touchdown. Other than that, they didn't sniff the end zone. So I'm just letting you know. Yeah, and they gave up two touchdowns to Chicago in a monsoon that were both busted coverages. Hey, like, I mean, I'm just letting you know that the defense that you faced on Sunday night is going to be a top five, maybe a top, maybe the number one defense in football at the end of the season. Mark my words.
Here's a question I'd like to throw out there.
Okay.
For all of you who agreed with and had no problem saying and agreeing with the idea that the offense was going to struggle in the early going, what about these first 3 weeks goes beyond what you thought the struggle would look like that has you so concerned?
Well, because you
that would be my question.
All right. Can I answer?
If you had, yeah. I know, but let me throw that question out there, and then you can answer. But for those of you who were completely on board and completely accepted the fact this offense was going to struggle through the first few weeks, what have you seen that makes this even worse than the struggle that you already thought you were going and expected to see?
Right.
All right, got it. I threw that out there. You go ahead.
Because you fall, everybody falls into, you know, whatever the narrative is out there publicly, right? Well, Russell looks fat. Is Russell fat? Is he gained weight? Well, Seattle, he's lost his athleticism. There's no question. He can no longer scramble. I mean, I had players from the Seahawks just flat out, when I had the Seahawks a week ago against the Niners, like, well, clearly he can't run anymore. Is it really that clear? Clearly he's not the athlete he used to be. And so I would just tell you, if you're not encouraged by the last touchdown drive, you know what else I was encouraged by, Mike? And it ended up being a punt and flipping field position. But when they came off the 1 yard line,
mm-hmm.
and they ran the ball. I mean, it was one run after the next run after that, and they ran it. And I think they ended up getting beyond the 50 or whatever and punting it and putting the Niners down to completely flip field position. That was as an impressive a drive as there was in that game. So would I like to score 31 points a game? Yes. Would that make me feel, you know, fat? Yes, it would. It would be like all the fancy meats and cheeses.
Just a full charcuterie board.
Yeah. But we're not right now. You know, right now, we're getting day old, like cheese been out for a while.
Exactly. No exotic cheeses here.
No. Nope. You want American or you want cheddar?
You want Kraft singles? We got that for you.
Yeah.
By the way, for those saying that, this was a Russell Wilson look like Tebow, wrong comparison. So the Broncos became the first team since 2016 to win a game in which they punted 10 times.
Really?
The last time it happened, the Broncos, in a win over Jacksonville, won with 11 punts. Guess who the quarterback was?
Paxton?
Russell Wilson is more Paxton Lynch than he is Tim Tebow. The numbers back it up. So for the first time since 2016, an NFL team won a game despite punting 10 or more times. The last time it happened, the Broncos over Jacksonville with Paxton Lynch, the starting quarterback.
You're welcome, Broncos country.
A 20-10 win.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.